So we are back now after our little break in conversations on the porch, which I enjoy. So last we talked about the park and drag, and how that was kind of your like pivotal coming out. Well, another pivotal point, because 95, you going there, was a pivotal point where you saw, like people just having fun, wanting to be there, enjoying their lives, living their lives as they want to and as they could try to. So tell me about, I guess, your drag experience and your journey in drag and how that came about.
March 9th, 2012, I decided to be in the cancer benefit because I've lost a lot of family members to cancer, and friends. So for me, it was, go ahead and do this one time. You know, just one time, just go do it. Knock it off your bucket list. Because, honestly, the park was the only place I felt safe. So I went up there. I had my daughter with me. We did U2-1. And we got great feedback from the crowd. The crowd really liked it. It was my first time on stage, so I'm quite sure I was booger-fied as they come. But the reception from the crowd was incredible. And that love that I felt coming back to me, giving me energy, making me want to give them more, that was the bug that bit me. Now, I'm not going to act like it bit me instantly. I mean, I felt great that night, but the next day I was like, I'm not going to be back on the stage. It's just not happening. I don't know why anybody would think about it. But a friend of mine, who ended up being my drag father, said, looked at my performance and said, I think you ought to go and try the trailer park. I don't know what the trailer park is.
And was that the 2013?
No, that was still 2012.
Okay.
Oh, hell, that probably was 2013.
You mentioned something about a trailer park. Like the... And I imagine what you said. You were crowned, and I think that was 2013, but also that was your life. I don't know.
It was neat because they looked at the video from my performance, and they were like, you got to do the trailer park. I'll draw you up the talent and everything. I'll practice with you. You just go in there and do it. Okay. They did draw up a talent. It was great talent. And they drilled it into me how to do it. And we did this cutesy little thing where I was in a chair and I was acting like I was driving. And we did these lines from the Great American Trailer Park. Trailer Park show. It's a Broadway show, off-Broadway show. And it was a hit. It was fantastic. You know, I was crowned king of the trailer park. And you get trailer park gifts. In fact, right here, I know people can't see it, but right here is my king of the trailer park crown, which was really, really interesting and really, really fun. But that's part of what gave me that I'm actually pretty decent at this. You know, when you do something and you feel good about it, and even if I hadn't won, I would have felt good about it because the audience reception, I was like, I could maybe, you know, do this. I like performing. I like giving something to the crowd. For me, it's, I'm supposed to make the audience forget for 3.5 to 4.5 minutes about their bills, about their husband problems, about their wife problems, about the electricity about to be cut off, whatever the issue is about their crappy boss, I need to take them somewhere else for 3.5 to 4.5 minutes, you know, however long my song is, my number is. And before that, I wrote a lot. And I don't write as much anymore, but I wrote a lot because that's how I express myself. And now drag is really where I express myself.
Were you writing, like, plays or poems or songs?
I was writing novels. I have two.
A book?
Still, two chickens to freaking send them off. It drives me crazy. Wow. Two. And, of course, I'm a geek, so one's paranormal. And the other one, it's just science fiction. So I guess that's the best way to say it. But, you know, I have these passions, and when I get passionate about something, it gets scary because then I lose my mind. And part of this, because I have a hard time staying focused after the strokes. I'm going in different directions. But if it's something that means a lot to me, I'm going to give it my everything. It's just like, as far as drag performances, I had a stroke. I have a very hard time remembering lyrics. So if it means something big to me, then I'm going to do it. So when people ask me to do a song, or when I feel there's a song that needs to be done, like Not Afraid by Eminem, I have friends who are drug addicts, I have a daughter who has some issues. That was huge for me to learn, all those lyrics. Because I have to learn them, not only do them correctly on stage, pronounce them right, do everything right with that timing, but I'm not just standing there. I have to be interactive with the lyrics and with the audience. So, you know, I practice a lot, typically. But that's just so I give the audience a good show. Drag is also where I rediscovered the true part of me. Because I buried that deep after that whole Bible thing with my grandma. I buried it really deep. But, you know, I realized when I was putting on beards and looking in the mirror, you know, this is who I am. You know. And Anton, who you see on stage, is truly who I aspire to be. That, you know, I'm not that comfortable in real life. I'm awkward and geeky. He's kind of suave. And he can be thuggish from time to time for a song, but, you know, it helped me to recognize that was the first time I felt comfortable in my own skin with the beard and the binder. You know, looking like a dude. You know, I walk like a dude, typically talk like a dude, love sports and get obnoxious like a dude. You know, the typical quote unquote, and not to say genders. I'm not trying to say anything against gender fluidity or anything, but I was born in 73. You know, I know how dudes do things. I know how women do things. I have no interest. Don't ask me about heels. People be talking about, have you seen my purse? What does it look like? Oh, it's a Michael Kors. That means nothing to me. Is it brown? I don't know what you're talking about. And it bites the, you know, I have no interest. I never have. And, you know, honestly, my family would sometimes get me girly presents. I did not know how to acknowledge them, you know, because they're like, oh, here, I got you this for your birthday. What am I going to do with this sweater? Because I'm never going to wear it. I wore a dress once in my life. It was graduation. They painted my face. They stuck me in some heels I could not walk in. So then they gave me some smaller heels. I graduated in a dress. Don't come at me with a dress for my funeral. I did not live as a woman. I'm not going to die and be put in a box as one either. So, now that I'm off topic, but seriously, drag helped me figure a lot out. It helped me learn to connect to people because I had a huge problem connecting with people. And music is always this beautiful thing that crosses every boundary. It doesn't matter. I have neighbors on both sides who play Spanish music all the time. I do not know a single word that's in those songs, but I understand and appreciate the music, and everybody can understand and appreciate music. So for drag, that's just me dressing up, putting on a show with the one medium that connects everybody. I used to think it was math that relates music. But I'm going to have
both. Because yes. Isn't there math in music too?
Oh, yes, always... absolutely. Absolutely. Fun. So, but it's the one thing. I mean, when you're upset, you listen to the radio or Pandora or whatever people listen to. But there's always music. You hear about people jumping in their cars and driving and just listening to music. It touches us on such a primal level. That's one of the reasons I love drag. We can get that emotional, you know. We can, sometimes our audience cries. You know, I've made people cry before and had to go out after the song and hug them, and they tell me their story of why it made them cry. I had that happen to me in 95. A queen did Don't Let the Sun Go Down on Me. It meant a lot. My uncle had died of AIDS, and it was relatively recent after that. And you can touch people in special ways. You can hype them up, or you can make them cry, or you can just make them smile. I mean, There's so many ways you can go with it. That's why it means a lot to me.
Was that the uncle who wasn't really talked about that had that bad relationship, or was it a different uncle?
Oh, no, it was the same uncle. Now, he did, while he had the gay relationship, he ended up having several hetero relationships and kids in those relationships, but nobody ever spoke about the gay relationship. It was just this hush-hush thing, you know. But we get Christmas cards from some of my family, but we don't, and from my girl's family, we get Christmas cards from them. I mean, almost 23 years, we're not a phase, we're going to be together, you know, and regardless if you like it or not, that's just how it's going to be. So I think because there wasn't this jump to another relationship, because we all know the adage, lesbians and U-Hauls, you know, they say it all the time, and sometimes it still happens till to, you know, to this day. But for me, having a loving and affirmative relationship with the same person means the world to me, because nobody else will put up with me. I'm being really honest. I am a mess. Okay, I'm truly a mess. I'm okay with that. You know, I try to get better every day, but there's aspects of me that, while they may slip their phone number in with that one when they hand it to me on stage, they do not want to bring me home for any reason. I am needy. I am whiny. I'm a mess.
We're also this amazing, like, from what I'm hearing, I'm labeling you as this, so take it back if you need to, we can talk about it.
Okay.
Like an activist in the community to a certain level, and creating space, and so do you feel like you're an active, is that a word? Just because I know that's a thing, a conversation now, like, okay, I'm a feminist, I'm an activist, I am, like, this XYZ that also has all these other connotations to it, so you may or may not identify as that.
I don't know if I identify as an activist. I identify as this one messed up person trying to make this corner of their world better. I don't do well with crowds, you know, so as far as me being out there on marches or any of that, that's what I view the activist as. You know, they are down there and they're doing the nitty gritty. I do things behind the scenes a lot, except for the drag part. You know, I don't identify as an activist. I wish that more people would just try and clean up their corner. And I think if we could get together and do that, then we could make Roanoke a better place, this spot a better place. You know, we have colleges that we were contacting in reference to setting up booths at Pride, who no longer have LGBTQ groups. I went, what just happened? You know, I think that stunned me so much, I didn't know what to do. Because people thought we were getting complacent once, you know, that Obama was openly recognizing us and places were talking about we're LGBTQ friendly. I think people got complacent because I heard comments like, well, why do we even need gay bars? And I was like, hold the damn phone, because I know how things work. While he's in here, while Obama's in office, you know, things are getting better. But I don't know who takes over after him. So we don't know if this is going to continue. And we don't know if it's going to be rolled back. And the truth is, it got rolled back. You know, there's reports all over the place that people would dare to look where LGBTQ rights are being taken away. So, I don't know, maybe activists could be in my future, but I have way too many panic attacks. You know, you can't call a big gathering and then get carted away on an ambulance because you had a bad moment, you know. And everything's on Facebook and Instagram. I really don't need that going out to the world. I just believe in making the world a better place. And right now my focus is for LGBTQ youth and adults. You know, we got to do better. Yeah, and that's not taking anything away from the people who paved the way, because it used to be a lot worse than it is today. In fact, 2 years ago, it was better than it is today. So, You know, we've got a lot of work to do. And as long as we continually plug away at doing the work, we can help people, and we can see that suicide rate come down, you know, because LGBTQ teens are, what is it, 5 times more likely to try and commit suicide? I mean, the numbers are staggering. And, you know, we don't have, you know, back when I was growing up, it was Matthew Shepard, you know, that we don't have, you know, his mother started the foundation, but we don't have that right now, you know. Another horrible tragedy. We had Pulse, you know, and it seems like that happened and we acknowledged it and we were all very hurt by it. But it seems like as a country we've moved on, and that hurts my heart because those people died. I haven't moved on from it. You know, they wanted to dance. You know, when I went to the park, I wanted to dance and to go in there and be shot up and killed and to be wounded for life. For the ones who made it out, they're wounded for life psychologically. For the ones who were wounded, they're still wounded for life. So I just think that we have to take steps to avert these horrible things from happening, especially in this climate, you know. And we have to take care of our brothers and sisters. That is primary. We have to make sure these kids have a place to go. We have to make sure these adults have a place to go. And they can always make themselves better. And I hope the community can get behind that.
So we're kind of creeping up on like an hour. Okay. I have maybe 2 or 3 more questions I wanted to ask, but you're definitely taking it and running with it, which is great. It's not at all a bad thing. But I just want to be sure that we have enough time and want to be sure it's okay with everybody in the room if we keep going for maybe those 2 or 3 questions.
Cool.
So we were talking about family a little bit, and you said that you have the Black family, which is your drag family, and that y'all's mission statement-ish, or what you're about, just like be about it, you about it, is to help people who are like you, like to help the people that are in your community in finding different ways to do that. But my question, I guess, is how did that family start? And I know that you said you had a drag father. Well, I guess still your drag father, regardless of...
For all eternity.
Yes. Yeah. So I guess tell me the family tree or the steps or whatever you want to tell me about the Black family.
I'm the patriarch of the Black family. I've been a drag almost 5 years. For me, it was... There's other families in Roanoke, and drag means different things to other families in Roanoke. And for me, it was, we're kind of the misfit toys. I'm going to be as honest as I can be. The Black family in itself, we all have some issues. Okay, which I think is fantastic, and I'm being honest, because none of us thinks we're better than anybody. You know, we all have some of those issues of self-doubt, self-worth. As a family, we come together and we help each other. We pick each other up. Now, sometimes, as a patriarch, I have to clamp down on somebody, and sometimes they get butthurt about it. I'm not going to lie. But it's about becoming better. And they push me to be better. And if I don't do something I'm not supposed to, you know, if I don't handle something I'm supposed to handle, they let me know, Pops, you know, how about this, you know. So for me, I've raised kids, I'm very proud of my kids, even the one who has some problems, I'm proud of all my kids, you know. I'm the same way with the family. They've become integral with Roanoke Pride this year. Not every member of the Black family, but, yeah, some of them. And they want to help out, because that's what we preach. You help out. It's not about just getting on the stage, you know. Even if you never get back on the stage, you still got to help the community. And so we want to give back. They have the same ideology I do. We know that we have people in this community that are hurting. I know because my kids spend a lot of time talking to them. A lot more time than me. I'll be honest. They're much better on the phone than I am. And text. But wanting to help your community should be in everybody. I don't care what community it is, you know. Of course, in this community, we rely on other gay people, lesbians, bisexual people, transgender people, and allies, you know. But everybody in every community should want to help benefit everyone else, you know, in some ways, shape, or form. So the Black family came from me deciding I wanted to start a family and encouraging them to be the best they can be on stage, be the best they can be in their real lives, jobs, work, everything, and be the best they can be for their community. And those are basically the pillars. And I didn't want anybody coming into the family who only wanted stage. You know, and that was their life. You know, I was on stage for 5 minutes. It's everything.
I'm listening to you. Yeah. We can hear them upstairs.
Okay, possible.
Yeah.